Welcome to the conference. Please note today's call is being recorded. Please stand by.
Hi, welcome to the Cancer Endorsement Maintenance Steering Committee call. This is for phase two of our project, and the purpose of today's call will be to review comments received on measures considered in phase two. Our chair for this committee is Dr. Stephen Lutz, and before we get started, I'd like to go through a quick roll call. And Adila, could you do that for
sure.
Me?
Sure. Stephen Lutz.
I'm here.
Joseph Alvarez.
Here.
Eduardo Barrera. Elaine Chotner. William Dale. Heidi Donovan. Stephen Edge.
Here.
Karen Fields.
Here.
John Gore. Elizabeth Hammond. Joseph Lover.
Here.
Jared Loeb. Brian Loy.
Here.
Jennifer Mallon.
Here.
Larry Marks.
Here.
Robert Miller.
Here.
Naomi Nierman.
Yes.
David Fisher. Rocco Ricciardi. Patrick Ross. Nicole Cafe, and Wendy Tenzik.
Here.
I'm here.
Oh. Okay. Thanks. So welcome to the call, everyone. And Dr. Lutz, I guess I will turn it over to you for your introduction. And first up on our panel discussion will be discussion of measure 0030.
This is Dr. Edge. Once again, most of us do not have an agenda, nor do we have the link to the website. Could you please re-email that as soon as possible?
I just sent out the link to the webinar.
Haven't come. Thank you.
All right, guys. This is Steve. I think I'm not sure how much work we actually have to do, if it'll take 2 hours, but welcome. And I think we're actually closing in on some finish lines, so that is exciting. And I don't know if everyone has everything, but I think the first thing listed is to go over the 0031, which was the breast cancer screening. I'm trying to recall who was the one that presented that to us, if they could give us like just a two-second thumbnail so we'd kind of catch up on what the original thoughts were.
Dr. Lutz, this is Angela. Sorry to interrupt. We did have just a quick request to go ahead with two measures to pull them out of order, and those are measures number 391 and 392, just for a discussion of those first, and then we'll go to 31. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. I don't recall which ones those are, so let me...
So the first measure, 0391, was breast cancer resection pathology reporting. And I'll
pull those up.
Yeah. We had a comment there. And I'm not sure if we want to read the comment that we received and have the committee weigh in on the response from the developer.
Can we just say, I think 391, is that the one that I have just a thumbnail that says reporting pathologic T category and pathologic N category with histologic grade. Is that what we're discussing?
That's correct.
Okay.
And
did we pass that or not pass it?
Yes, we are supportive of the measure.
Okay. And then what was the comment?
I'll pull that up.
Okay, so the comment was submitted by Carmela Bocino. It says that this measure only assesses standard practice that should be routinely occurring for all patients. In the future, better measures of patient outcomes will be needed to be developed.
And do we also have the measure developer for this measure? I believe that's AMA PCPI.
Oh, yes. This is V.O. Spates, PCPI representative from the College of American Pathologists.
Okay. I know you there was a request to discuss this measure with the committee. Did you have comments specifically to respond to the comment?
Basically, we realize that this is standard of practice, or what should be standard of practice, and yet our surveys of a few years ago indicated only about an 80% compliance with this simple measure, and then even some more recent data that we got from, I believe, Mr. Stewart indicated an 87% compliance with it. While we realize that it addresses things which really should be standard of care routinely occurring, from what we are able to tell, there is a documented gap in this measure, and we do certainly intend to expand and to evolve the measure over time. But for now, we feel that because of the documented care gap in this, that it is appropriate for us currently.
Thanks. And was there any discussion from the committee members?
Yeah, this is Steve. I think we actually had this discussion, if my memory serves, and that we sort of said the same thing, that, you know, this seems like it would be obvious and everyone should be doing it, but we just don't seem to find, you know, data that it gets closer to 100%. So I think we were sort of agreeing, or had previously agreed with the comment that we just heard. Is anyone else's memory? Can they help me? But I think we already sort of agreed with that type of comment. That
I think we did about this on a number of the measures, say that these were sort of low bars, and we would hope that the next time around there would be some newer measures that would reflect the current science.
I mean, I certainly don't see anything, you know, significant enough about the written comment to reconsider whether we pass it. I mean, unless someone else
right,
does.
Right, the comment is supporter, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry, why did we ask for comments?
The developer wanted to respond to the comment that was made about the measure.
Okay.
So
we did pass it, though, correct?
Yes. Oh, yes, we
sorry.
Did. We recommend
so we posted
it.
The draft report for public and member comment to give the public a chance to weigh in on the recommendations that the steering committee made for all of the measures. So it wasn't necessarily that it was anything other than a process check for us. It's not specific to this measure.
So I think we'd say, unless I'm mistaken, that we agree with the developer's comment and appreciate them coming on to help us, but I think, yeah, it's what we already sort of agreed on before the public comment came in. I don't see anything to change.
Okay. All right.
392, did we already talk that?
Not yet.
Okay.
So that brings us down to 392, colorectal cancer resection pathology reporting, PT category and PN category with histologic grade. And it's also...
The comments are the same thing.
Same, it's the same comment, similar comments. So if there's additional discussion from the steering committee about this one, or we feel like we've covered it?
We covered it.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Lutz, we can go back onto our agenda and move on to the breast cancer measure.
Okay. And I think we had just mentioned that thumbnail, if I can find it. This was 0031, and percentage of women 40 to 69 years of age who had a mammogram to screen for breast cancer. I think we had a good, healthy discussion about this in terms of some of the disagreements that we've seen in other published guidelines, and we had, as I recall, chosen to defer. I'm trying not to take a side, but I'm not sure that was well accepted by the folks that check things beyond us. I think they want us to make a statement, if I'm understanding correctly. Is that the judgment? Do we have a specific comment from someone asking what they wanted of us, or why they wanted us to discuss this one further?
So for this measure, we discussed it at the in-person meeting, and there was a request that we not vote on the measure at the time, so we have not voted as a steering committee on this measure, and we were waiting comments from the field regarding the changing underlying guidelines. So the committee still would need to take into account the comments received during the period and then discuss, and we'll need to put this out for a vote for the steering committee. So we still have a process to go through for this one.
Right, and this is Heidi, just to add so you all remember, and I know you have it in front of you, but
yeah.
When you discussed the importance criteria, it passed on impact and performance gap, but because of the inconsistency or insufficient evidence on the age, it did not pass that. You had two yes, one no, and then eight for insufficient, which was part of the reason I think you wanted to get as many comments from the field on what everyone's current thinking is for these measures, and you received, it looks like, three comments. So part of the question, I think, is you did a preliminary vote, two yes, no, nine no, when you did put this out, and do you want to perhaps change your recommendation? That was really a preliminary kind of soft recommendation at the time. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. The only thing I'd bring up, because I think someone in the group brought this up when we discussed it, someone in their comments said as an alternative the measure could be age stratified with those who are 40 to 49 having either mammography or documentation of a discussion. And I know we've been, you know, sort of reticent about having measures that involve just discussions of something, but, you know, I'm not sure. Again, we're back to where that age 40 to 49, obviously from the comments, there's still people that think that it could go either way.
Hi, Heidi, this is Safine. I just wanted to let you know Bob and I are here, and I'm wondering if we can say something
sure.
for NCQA.
Sure,
so we got three comments, and two of them support the measure. The third one said harmonize with the task force screening guidelines. And I think what this does, even though it's a small number, sort of reflects the fact that we do have a measure where we have some major national organizations that are recommending screening from 40 to 49. And the task force itself doesn't recommend against it per se, but says it should be an individual decision that takes into a context patient preferences. So the issue of whether or not we should stratify the measure is actually something that we are looking at right now. I think we noted this at the steering committee meeting that we are currently reevaluating the measure. We are reevaluating a measure in the face of national guidelines that recommends, you know, slightly different things. One of the options that we are looking at is if we do break it up, you know, between 40 to 49, 50 to 74, it's possible we could, you know, have the measure look at this age range that is recommended by many organizations. And but if we wanted to, we could take the 50 to 74 age that is the one part that is completely aligned with all the different organizations. And maybe that's the age stratification that we could use for public reporting or other programs in which the measure resides. So, you know, we had noted that this is something that we're looking at now, and unfortunately our processes and timelines didn't necessarily align with NQF, but removing the endorsement, we're not sure is the right way to go.
And this is Bob at NCQA. Just to remind you of the timeline, we're taking the reevaluation of our measure. We just had our measurement advisory panel for breast cancer screening last month, and we're taking this to our Committee on Performance Measurement, which is our version of CSAC, if you will, and taking that to them in September, mid-September. After that, it will go to public comment in February of 2013. And then if approved through public comment and final CPM review, then that measure would be updated June or July of 2013.
Well, and this is Steve. I think if it goes 50 to 74 and that ends up being what we vote on and it passes, that doesn't say that 40 to 49 shouldn't be or should be. In other words, it's simply not addressed. So it doesn't say it's inappropriate. It just doesn't address it and therefore leaves it open for whatever, you know, recommendations come in 2013 or beyond.
That's clever.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I think this is the interface between implicit with a metric is that the metric is sort of implying that this is the standard. And I think that and I think remembering those comments that were made at the discussion at the maintenance committee meeting, that I think one of the issues that came up was, well, gee, is this the metric as crafted clearly the standard for the group from age 40 to 49? You know, certainly a number of highly people that know a lot about breast cancer and a lot about it would say, yes, they think it is. But if, let's say, just to, let's say, give the other side of this, if, you know, you're a patient and you're saying, well, you know, this pretty, seems like a pretty big body, this United States Task Force, and seems to have a little different idea about this, and, you know, and it's not, it's a, it's sort of implied that it is a standard when a pretty major body in our country is saying that it's, that, you know, we need to look at this carefully. It's a, you know, they're going to say, well, isn't anyone reading the Annals of Internal Medicine in the last couple of years? You know, it's something which is a, and when I look at the three comments that were received, the one was, obviously, the one from the insurance entity said to harmonize with the guideline. The first one says endorse as is, but even the one that quoted the other organizations, embed the third paragraph they put in is, you know, the wording was like, as an alternative strategy would be to have for the 40 to 49-year-old group some sort of risk stratified sort of approach that the metric would reflect that risk stratification. And I think the issue right now is that there is no risk stratification in the group. They have a few exclusions if you have mastectomy and stuff. So I would probably say that it's, when you, on the face, it looks like, well, two of the three comments seem to endorse the measure as is. Well, I'd say one of them definitely endorsed the measure as is. The second comment endorses it but says yes, but implicit, they embed in it that this is an alternative way to look at it.
Well, if I could try, I mean, that's a very good point. If I try and think of it as a layperson, you know, if someone says a quality measure, one would assume that quality measure at least has to have some sense that everyone does agree on it. So 50 to 74, pretty much everyone agrees on. Again, we're back to just the layperson saying, well, the measure of quality is whether it's done on the people we know it has to be done on. And 40 to 49, as you suggest, even from the comments, is still in, almost in three different places. It's almost impossible in my mind to leave it in if it's going to be passed. And if it has to be left in, I'm not sure if there's an easy way currently to make it okay as a true quality measure. Are you measuring the quality of care in these patients? So I don't know. I mean, from a very strict standpoint, it's hard, if that's in there, for me to come to a conclusion.
Yeah, this is Bob Miller, and I just wanted to comment, excuse me, that I don't think anything's changed from our discussion in the in-person meeting that, you know, I'm not comfortable endorsing this measure because of this uncertainty, and I mean, I appreciate the other viewpoints, but that's the crux of the argument, right? So that's what everyone's been saying. Everyone has their viewpoint on this, but I agree with what Stephen just said. I think as a quality measure, I think it's we're treading in some dangerous ground if we go on record endorsing this in this time of uncertainty. So I don't see that these comments have changed my thinking about what our discussion was when we met in person.
This is Joe Albanese.
I totally concur with the statement. I too am unmoved at this point.
I agree.
Would we suggest it just change to 50 to 74 and then that's a non-issue, or do we say that it just needs to be settled for 40 to 49 before we go on, you know, before anyone goes on to make any statement? Because, I mean, I can see a 50 to 74, but is that a bad thing, or is that a, you know?
I think there's incontrovertible evidence and consensus around 50 to 74. 40 to 49, there's a lot of controversy, and the difference between a quality measure and a guideline is a quality measure implies that you're providing bad care if you don't provide everyone in that group with a mammogram according to the numerator statement.
Agreed.
So if stratification, this is Brian Molloy, if stratification is an option in this discussion, and somebody will have to stop me if it's not, isn't the non-debatable quality measure that is in the 40 to 49-year-old, that requirement of having the provider have a discussion about the risk and benefits of breast cancer screening and not the imaging?
Yeah, but that's hard for us to measure, right?
Right, and that's not, I mean, I think stratification doesn't get around the problem. You're just reporting the results differently for the different groups. But I'm concerned, so I think having a different measure for the 40 to 49-year-olds, you know, maybe a measure that says, you know, if you have family history, you should have a mammogram. If you don't have family history, you know, or other risk factors, then you should have a discussion. That's a different measure. Just stratifying the current measure just means you're reporting different, you know, you're reporting the results differently for the different age groups. I don't think that gets around the issue because basically, you know, what do you make of the results for the 40 to 49-year-olds? I mean, it's, you know, so at least it doesn't penalize people, I guess, in terms of including it. You know what the issue is for providers who have a different age distribution, but I think it actually could end up being harmful because people could somehow point to it and say that, gee, we need guidelines that say that they should get mammograms because the results are so terrible or something. I mean, I think there's all sorts of unintended consequences of reporting a measure that isn't based on good science and consensus.
Yeah, maybe I'm not making my point very well. I am of the belief that if the 40 to 49-year-old quality measure was documentation of an informed consent type discussion around breast cancer screening, it seems to me there'd be far less debate.
Yes, that makes sense.
I think if it was a separate measure, I think it almost
could be. I agree.
I mean, as a separate measure, it could be considered separately, and I'd have to think on that one a while because there's more complexity, but yeah, as a separate measure, maybe as part of the same measure that's just reported differently, that kind of makes me feel funny.
Right. I feel funny about having a measure for a stratification that embeds both imaging as well as the discussion or informed consent process. So I don't know what you do with that information. I don't know what you do with the results, but and I'm not sure how it impacts anything. Outcomes or
Hi, this is Safine. I just wanted to make clear that hand in hand with reporting out the measure differently would be stratifying the measure, I think, gives people the opportunity to use the measure differently as well. And so if we accept the fact that, you know, quality measure is only as good as the program it's used in, stratifying the measure and, you know, tracking 40 to 49 because it's still important for some people, given that breast cancer is a heterogeneous disease. I think we would all agree with that. And then having 50 to 74 age stratification allows people who are implementing the measure to be able to use that age stratification for public reporting, for accountability, in accreditation programs, and that sort of thing. So that would be the ultimate end result of stratifying it. So I agree that just stratifying in and of itself is not necessarily our end goal. It's really changing the measure in a way that allows us to use the measure in the appropriate programs appropriately. I think there are so many people who would be interested to understand the screening rates in their 40 to 49-year-olds. And so this health plan measure would allow plans to be able to do that, knowing that they are not having that stratification necessarily publicly reported out or used in accreditation or anything like that. So, and in that way, you do not have a measure that just discards an age group for which we do have American Cancer Society, ACOG, and other organizations recommending mammograms. So I just wanted to just make that part clear, too.
This is Karen. How do we, are we allowed to change the measures, though? I thought that that was one of the difficulties with all of these.
Right.
Right. So this is Heidi. Maybe I could kind of give you a sense of where I think perhaps what your next steps might be, because you're correct. This is a measure that is maintained by MCQA, and as you've heard, they are in the process of updating it, but unfortunately the finalized measure won't be ready until 2013. So in some instances when we know there's something that within a few months it would be changed, we have a different scenario, but in this instance you're really voting on the measure as it stands right now. Are you making the final decision? Because there's really no other alternative in front of you, I think, at this point, because NCQA is not ready to say that they know what that is.
Yeah, so we have to not endorse this presently.
I mean, right. I think that is the question before the committee on whether or not you want to make a final decision.
If we can't amend it, we're all not comfortable with 40 to 49. We can't endorse it.
I have to say, though, I actually happen to say that all the big cancer programs that we respect, American College of Surgeons, NCCN, American Cancer Society, all endorse mammograms in that setting. So I think that I would vote differently than the rest of the discussion's going.
But a practitioner can, with a straight face, say that they're not screening people between 40 and 49. They'd be very valid in their opinion. And they shouldn't be dinged for it.
Agree. I'm just saying that if we're talking about there's a transition and the standard right now from all of our medical societies is that we should be screening, I don't see why we have a discussion about whether we are concerned about what quality is or isn't.
But it's not true that the organization that has the highest level of evidence supporting it and is the one that's turned to the most is the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. And I don't think that ACOG or the American Cancer Society have the same weight as the USPSTF.
I think there's a big difference between putting something forth as a quality measure for which we're going to hold people accountable and endorsing a practice. I strongly support mammography screening for women aged 40 to 49. I think for the wording and the way the Preventative Services Task Force did this was a somewhat unfortunate, though when you get everybody in the same room, we're actually all on the same team and all understand the same data. But a quality measure for accountability is different from endorsing a practice.
And I think I would say it's even different than tracking. If you say this was changed where you're simply tracking, I know several people who will look at the NQF measures simply far enough to say, what did they do? Which way did they fall? And if there's 40 to 74 included, they're not going to look at it and say, oh, well, you know, the 40 to 50 was just for tracking, but it isn't really a quality measure yet because we're still deciding. They're not going to do that. And so even when it's just a tracking, even if we could switch to that, I still think, I mean, I've talked to several of my colleagues who are not the least bit involved in this but who are very good oncologists. That's how they look at NQF. Which way do they fall? Give me a one-sentence answer. They're not going to understand that we just like to track. They're just not.
Yeah, and I would further that and say if you say it's a value and it's a measure, then folks will tend to emphasize that and underscore the need to take some sort of action. And I'm not sure we've declared that, you know, we don't, within in that strata, whether we value the screening or versus the actual discussion one way or the other. I think it can potentially send a very confusing message.
Mm-hmm. But I do agree that since there's controversy, and I agree that the physician has if with a well-documented discussion with the patient, makes that individual patient decision. So I don't know that, but I don't know how we can, how that will be measured outside of this guideline, because the women are going to be there, they got the mammogram or they didn't. I don't think anybody's going back to review the notes to find out if there was a discussion about that. So I don't know what to do with this measure, because I don't think we can modify it, and I agree that there's a lot of ways to interpret that data.
May I ask, this is Neil, may I ask the NQF staff, when is it that you expect a more definitive statement about where this measure might be going after your review, further review?
So are you asking about what the steering committee is going to do next?
No.
Okay.
When will we have a chance to look at this again, or how much time will it pass before this measure is revised? Or not.
So NCQA, could you just again say when the final measure would be ready?
Sure. So I'm going to try to be as frank and transparent as I possibly can about this. We have, not only do we have the clinical questions that you've all raised and raised quite well, you also have the public policy decision that is kind of the background music to this measure, and the background music to why 40 to 49 is still there. And as you know, that's because it was included in the Affordable Care Act legislation, which is something that none of us get to vote on. It just happened, and there we have it. So I think the term I think that many people have said is that, we're kind of in this transition place, and we've been in this transition place since the USPSTF came out with its recommendations, and then the public policy agenda went in a slightly different direction, and have had to try to navigate that as a measure developer and also as a measure implementer, because this measure is used, as you well know, across the country for health plan evaluation. And I think that while we may be going forward with the stratification recommendation, the CPM is a mindful body. And it has its own opinions, and we have been not terribly great at always predicting what direction they will go. I can say historically the CPM holds the USPSTF recommendations at high value. Many of the CPM members have served or are serving on the USPSTF. Our current Vice President of Performance Measurement was the Scientific Director for the USPSTF during the breast cancer screening evaluation. So we really understand this zone quite well. I think that in terms of timing, directionally we will know at the end of September what the CPM is thinking, and that will inform our public comment in February. I think we'll know a lot after. I think we can anticipate what the public comment would be, except our public comment, we usually get 100 to 200 responses, and so we do take that process quite seriously, and it's quite effective. And then we'll know in May, because that's our meeting where there will be a final vote. We have a board of director vote, which takes place after that, just like the NQF process. So I think directionally we'll know a lot in September, not the entirety, but we'll know quite a lot. So, I mean, that's fairly close.
That's
just in a month. Correct. This measure is been used longstanding, and it's in the middle of a lot of things. If NQF chooses not to endorse the measure currently, then the measure will continue to be used in HEDIS, and then it'll go through its process, and it'll either change, stay the same, or change dramatically. Whatever the case may be, I'm not going to predict that, but it's still going to be used, and then, it'll change when we go through this process. And then I guess what we'll have to do is come back to NQF and ask, gee, it's just changed. You de-endorsed it in September. Can you please put us on a, I don't know what you can do, an expedited review or something so that this measure doesn't fall off the NQF portfolio. It would seem a shame to do that for such a short period of time.
Bob, this is Heidi, though. Can I ask you, because I want to make sure that I have it clear as well. When could you hand a revised specification, assuming that's what happens, to NQF?
Because of our process, we have to have public comment. We can't not have that.
That's why I want to make sure, because again, I know the recommendation will come out in a month, but you wouldn't be handing it to us, correct, until May of next year. Is that correct? Do I have that right? I just want to make sure.
We could, as long as the process allowed the board vote. So as soon as the CPM voted, then in May we could resubmit the measure, assuming there's a process you would need to take place that would carry over into a month or so. We would be comfortable submitting. And then if there was the board made some interesting move and didn't support it, we'd simply withdraw the measure.
Right. We can take care of that. But so this is Heidi now to answer the second part of, I think, Naomi's question, which was what would NQF then do? So the question is before you today, based on what you have, whether the measure meets the evaluation criteria. When assuming that you do not recommend this measure and an endorsement is removed, we would then work with NCQA to find the next project where we could submit it. I know that for sure we will have a project in 2014 that would look at cancer. Now, whether there would be something before that, it's always a possibility. We can always find ways that if there's a project that perhaps we'd have the right expertise on where it would fit, we could work it in even earlier. But that is kind of the time frame at the moment as I know it now when we would have the next project. So, Naomi, I want to make sure I answered your question on that.
I think, it seems, given what a highly charged area this is, for us to endorse a measure that then gets changed in a couple months, even as it's going through a public comment period, just seems kind of, you know, crazy and adding, you know, more confusion rather than helping to clear things up.
May I suggest that we just make a final decision not to endorse this, or at least call the question?
I so second that.
Yes, please.
So this is Heidi. I think what we would like to do and what we typically do, because you don't have the whole committee on, is to have a SurveyMonkey go out and have you do that online. Because, again, we want the input from the full committee on this, because I think this is one of a great interest to everyone.
Is that okay for the full committee?
That out, will there be a summary of that discussion for the committee members who weren't here?
Yes. We'll have a summary of the discussion with the SurveyMonkey link. And we'll send it this afternoon. I'll just tell you now, we're going to ask for a pretty quick turnaround with your votes and any rationale or explanation that you can fill in on the text by the close of business on Wednesday. So we'll get that out to you today, and we'll be asking for it back Wednesday evening.
Okay.
All right. Is there anything else we were supposed to discuss? I was going to ask a quick question, before I get to that. So we had that sort of email flurry about 0212 and 0214, is that we've already moved on from those just based on that email flurry, or where are we on those?
I think we have to vote on those, Stephen.
Our take from your email exchange on 212 and 214 was that unless there was a substantive change to the measure, there was not going to be a reversal of the committee's decision to not recommend those measures for endorsement. And we had some communication with the measure developer, and given that this measure is using Medicare claims data, you wouldn't be able to make the kind of change that would allow for a distinction of a palliative care unit admission versus any other hospitalization. So given your quick and uniform response and given the measure developer's inability to make the changes that you all recommended, we felt that there wasn't a need for discussion of those measures any longer.
I was only bringing it up because I was quick and vocal. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't cut anyone else off, because I'm not sure everyone had a comment. Does everyone remember 0212 and 0214? Those were, what was the specific wording? It was the...
It's the hospitalization and the ED visit.
There we go. Oh, yeah.
Right, and so they were to come up again, and I got sort of vocal that those were discussed previously in palliative care and failed, and in cancer and failed. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't jumping to the gun too much. It seems like we've already decided that, but I didn't want to unilaterally speak so loudly that no one else got to say anything else.
So what did we decide on those, remind me?
We decided that it was very difficult to hold people accountable for, I think, hospital visits and ICU visits in the last certain number of days of life without being able to subcategorize between, hematologic malignancies versus palliative care admissions versus other types of hospital admissions. And then I think someone on one of the NQF review boards asked us to look at it again, which sort of set me off a touch since we've already been through it twice. But
we were being asked to look at it a third time.
Essentially. So I was just making sure, I didn't want to just kind of type real loud and have no one else have an idea, but as long as no one else does, then it would be nice to move on from them and just say, yeah, we're settled.
So, Steve, I was there for that discussion, and some of the committee felt very strongly that all the measures needed to be looked at in mass, and I quite honestly, I thought they would want us to vote on it again, but I agree with you completely, and I specifically told the committee that I didn't think that our committee would have any other discussions about it for multiple reasons, including accessibility and different diagnoses and everything. So if the administrators want to assume that we had an adequate discussion, I think no one's going to change their mind, and I think we had an adequate discussion.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. Good.
The only remaining thing is that in the comment table that we sent to you guys, there were a few comments that we highlighted where the commenters made comments that weren't necessarily explicitly addressed by the steering committee during the in-person meeting. So we highlighted those, and we wanted to point them out for your discussion on them. Once we focus in, there are three comments to that effect. Once we focus in on those, if you all have any comments that we didn't highlight that you want to discuss, we'll take those at that point. But that's our agenda for the remainder of the call.
All right.
And the first comment that we highlighted is comment number 2640. It refers to measure 1857, which is an ASCO measure. Is there anyone from ASCO on the line?
So what measure number is it? Because the comment numbers are not in order.
It's measure number 1857.
1857.
This is Mike Hassett from ASCO.
Great, thanks. Mike, if you wouldn't mind just taking a quick moment to maybe explain ASCO's response to the comments, that would be pretty helpful, I think.
Okay, I just have to read it again so I remember.
Oh, they want to change trastuzumab to HER2 therapy. That makes sense, yeah. HER2-directed therapy instead of listing trastuzumab as being the specific drug.
This is Kristen McNiff from ASCO as well. I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yeah. The comment that we're referring to was submitted by Genentech, and they recommended against endorsement of Measure 1857 due to limited utility and improving quality. So if anyone from ASCO wants to maybe offer your take on it, and then we'll open it up for steering committee discussion.
Yeah, I'd be happy to start, Mike, if you want, and then you can.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Yeah, so this issue, I think, was discussed in some detail by the steering group about the gap in care, and the Genentech folks cite one instance, one study. And so our response, I think mirrors a lot of the discussion that we had in the committee. First, that we do believe in developing measures of underuse as well as overuse. So we do think that that's an important area to focus. There is, as we discussed, a gap that needs to be addressed. And in the future, if that gap goes away, then it will be time to remove the measure from accountability. But the gap does exist, and that was discussed by the steering group already. There was an indication here that it might be that the oncologists do not know what their HER2 status is, but the testing has been done. And it's ASCO's position that the oncologist needs to know what the HER2 status testing results are, and they need to be documented in the record. So the fact that the test was done, but the oncologist may not have those at hand when he or she is making treatment decisions or documented in the record, would count as a miss. And I think that's pretty much the summary. Do you have other comments, Mike?
No, that's great.
I, for one, have some concerns that the manufacturer of the drug didn't want to make sure that we were utilizing the drug, not over-utilizing the drug, by adequate documentation of HER2 new testing. So I thought that I took the response with a grain of salt from that aspect.
I agree. It's a little unusual to have them commenting about, no, you don't really need to look at overuse. It just kind of struck me the wrong way.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, we'll point to two other comments. One of them is comment number 2635. It addresses measure 1859 and 1860. This was discussed at the steering committee, the idea of combining measures 1859 and 1860. The ASCO has responded to that as well, and we just really wanted to flag it just to make sure that the steering committee is still in agreement with these measures being separate. I don't know if anyone from ASCO wants to speak to that also.
This is Chris again. I'm happy to speak to that as well. Again, I think that this was discussed at the meeting. The point about capturing patient preference, again, there is not a recommendation in either of these measures that testing be routinely done in these patients. So, we had a bit of a hard time understanding the patient preference exclusion recommendation there. It's just for people who are getting the treatment that they should have received the testing before they the treatment decision was made. And in the future, reporting having these be combined is something that certainly could be considered. But these are fairly new guideline recommendations, and we really think there's value in reporting these separately. So if there is an area that's the miss, you're able to drill down to the appropriate level of granularity to see where the miss occurred.
Is there any steering committee comment?
I think that makes sense.
Okay. The last comment that we wanted to focus you in on is comment number 2637, and it recommends development of a HER2 composite measure comprised of measures 1857, 1855, 1858, and 1878 in order to optimally capture the use of HER2 treatment in breast cancer. Those measures are stewarded by ASCO and CAP. And the developers provided a response to that. If they want to speak to it, again, we just want to be sure of the steering committee's position on this.
Well, I'll start since I'm on a roll here. On this
Thank you.
CAP and ASCO staff discussed this and confirmed that we do not think that it would be feasible or meaningful ultimately to combine the CAP measure with the ASCO measures because they are looking at different use of accountability and they're measuring different levels. So combining those does not seem to have an ultimately clinically meaningful output. The measures from ASCO specifically, so if we remove the CAP measure from the equation and just look at the ASCO measures, which are all focused on the medical oncologist and or the medical oncology practice and are looking at the testing and use of trastuzumab, are measures that, again, could be reported together. We do think, and that would be at the choice of the implementing organization or program. Certainly there could be some utility in reporting those together, but again, for the purposes of identifying opportunities for quality improvement, these are each very, kind of discrete steps along the way, and just because you overuse doesn't mean you underuse, and so we do think there's value in continuing to report these independently and thus getting them approved independently.
This is Faye Szymanski with CAP, and I that we didn't think the well, the denominators are different, so our measures are designed for at the individual physician level, whereas the ASCO ones are a different practice setting. So it wasn't really feasible at the moment to combine them, but we'll certainly think about it as we continue our measure development efforts in the future, ways that that might work. But for the moment, it's not feasible.
This is V.O. Spates, also from CAP, and I agree. 1855 measures the accuracy of testing done by pathologists. The other measures measure what the physicians who get the results do with them. So we would certainly agree that 1855 should not be combined with the other measures.
Yeah, this is Emily Volk, Dr. Volk, also from CAP, and I concur.
Thank you. Is there any steering committee response?
Sounds reasonable.
I would agree.
Okay. And last but not least, comment number 2654. It was a comment made to measure 1857 and 1858, and the recommendation is that instead of saying a specific therapy, trastuzumab, it instead say FDA-approved HER2 therapy. ASCO noted that they review measures and update them every 6 months, and if an alternative therapy is approved and considered appropriate, then the measure will be updated. Our question to the steering committee is if that's acceptable to you or if you would recommend a name change for the measure.
I would recommend leaving it as is because FDA approval may be for, you know, different settings, and I would think that it could end up causing confusion.
Yeah, this is one you don't want to change. I mean, GSK happens to make lapatinib, I think obviously that's what they're talking about, but right now we don't have data that lapatinib in the adjuvant setting is the appropriate treatment. If anything, the data is suggesting that it may not be the right drug. So there's there should be no confusion at all. It's clear with clinical trial data, it's very clear what works right now. And if it changes, I think the comment that, you know, we can update this as need be. So I don't see any reason to make a change to what our vote was.
I totally agree.
Can I ask a question then? So updating in this context doesn't require bringing the measure back to a committee. They just simply give new criteria.
In this context, ASCO would be updating it independently, and if it was a substantive change, such as the change in the type of recommended therapy, at that point, NQF would have to convene an ad hoc review of the measure. So it wouldn't be an immediate change, but it would be a pretty quick change, especially if there is a significant change in evidence pointing to a need to change the measure.
So, but the standard of care, the prior standard of care, would still be being measured and evaluated. So I don't have a problem with that. It's a process question more than anything, because, as indirectly referenced, we just understand the manufacturer's concern about opportunities for new drugs being evaluated appropriately. However, as long as the process isn't tedious or difficult, I don't have a problem with just not changing the measure at all.
This is Brian Loy. I'm just listening to this dialogue, and I'm wondering, you know, as we evaluate this, is there a kind of a guiding principle that says that we are more descriptive of therapies versus naming them by name that we would look to, or is this pretty typical that we, because let's pretend lapatinib did become, the data was there. Do we then go back and, you know, add drug name by drug name, or do we begin talking about, you know, general classes of drugs that interfere with the HER2 pathway?
I think we change it to something that's class specific when there's evidence that other drugs in the same class have the same response.
But yeah. To that point, I would say, you know, is there a way for us to describe the mechanism of action of trastuzumab without naming it by name.
But we don't know for sure that another drug with a similar mechanism of action is going to have the same result.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, it's still an open question in oncology, but I think right now, you know, not all VEGF inhibitors work, work for all cancers or
right.
multi-kinase
right.
inhibitors. So I don't know that, you
can't
can use
ways.
The general.
Yeah, I respect that. Thanks.
Okay, those were the only comments that we wanted to focus the steering committee on. In your review of the comments, was there anything that we missed that you think needs further steering committee input?
Anyone?
Generally, the comments were supportive or seemed to be in line with the steering committee discussions, which is why we haven't flagged them, but...
All right, are we supposed to go on to member and public comment now? Is that where we are?
That is where we are. Natalie, if you wouldn't mind opening the lines, and we'll take member and public comment at this point.
If you would like to ask a question or make a comment, please press star 1. And there are no questions or comments.
Great, thank you. I guess as next steps for the steering committee, we NQF staff will make some revisions to the report based on the comments received, and we will also be sending you out, as we mentioned earlier, the SurveyMonkey link and a summary of the discussion on measure 0031. We'll be asking for your final vote on the measure by close of business on Wednesday, and we do strongly urge you to provide any comments that you feel necessary in the appropriate space on the SurveyMonkey, because we'll be needing that to formulate a rationale for the recommendation on the measure. This report is scheduled to go out for NQF member vote in about 2 weeks, and at that point it will move through the NQF process. Once we get the member votes, it'll go to the Consensus Standards Approval Committee for review, and ultimately to the NQF board for endorsement. We're expecting this set of phase 2 measures to be endorsed in October of this year. And then just to update you on the phase 1 measures, those are currently being reviewed by the NQF board right now, with the recommendations that you made intact to all of the measures, with the one caveat that the 5 ASCO measures that were recommended, the 0210, 211, 213, 215, and 216, will be bundled and recommended to be reported as a set of measures rather than being used individually. Those measures, assuming no action is taken by the board, will likely be endorsed within the next week or two. Largely, the committee work is done at this point for you all. Dr. Lutz will be involved in a consensus standards approval committee call, but we're very appreciative of all the time and effort that you guys have put into this, and thank you for a product well done.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.